Hello, and a very warm welcome to the Red Velvet Revelry podcast. This is podcast number 8. My name is Marie-Louise, and I'm on a bit of a mission to speak to women about their life-affirming, joyful stories about sexuality. Today, I'm speaking to Catherine from All Catherine. Catherine is a yogi and a passionate advocate for women's embodiment. She helps women to become truly at home with their female bodies. In our chat, she speaks about the work that she does. She also tells a very personal story of transformation from her own life, which refers to having a miscarriage. If this is something you'd rather not listen to, then please do feel free to skip this particular podcast. Otherwise, please join me for this episode of Red Velvet Revelry.
Red Velvet Revelry. Red Velvet Revelry. Join us and you will see. It's time for Red Velvet Revelry. Stories you never knew. Facts that are coming through. We'll bring them all to you. Sisters, that's what we do.
Well, hello, Catherine Crawley. Welcome to the Red Velvet Revelry podcast.
Thank you, Marie-Louise. It's a real pleasure to be here. Thank you.
I first really engaged with Catherine when I saw a video on Facebook where you were talking about women's sensuality and being in touch with their own bodies. And I just really loved it. And so I got in touch with you and we had some lovely conversations. And I ended up doing some embodiment work with you, didn't I? And some yoga. And the thing that I really love about what Catherine does is that she is the person that I have met so far in my life who honors what it is to be a female person in a female body and acknowledges all the stuff around that and celebrates it. And I haven't really been in the kind of circles where that's been my experience of life or of how other women speak to each other. And I'm sure for some people who are listening to this, they haven't had a lot of that kind of experience. So I would really love, Catherine, if you would say something about who you are and the work that you do.
Thank you, Marie-Louise. Thank you so much for having me and for allowing me to bring myself into this space today. So I present myself, if you like, as a mentor in feminine embodied awakening. And as you have just said, for those that don't necessarily have an awareness of that work, that can mean absolutely nothing at all. So what is feminine embodied awakening? It really is a healing and an empowerment of us as women on a physical, an emotional, a mental, and a spiritual level. So we are holistic beings. We are physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual all at the same time. And very often we are not in touch with that. And who are we in our essence? In our essence, we are women. And yet we have been brought up in an environment where we are constantly trying to put ourselves in boxes. So from the good girl to the clever girl to the good wife, to the good mother, to the wonderful lover, to the career woman, whatever it is, it's usually one box or another. And we're doing this again on many different levels because we're trying to fit ourselves physically into a certain look. We're trying to fit ourselves emotionally into a certain way of being and mentally as well. So we don't really get an opportunity to feel into who we truly are as a woman. And why that is a real issue is because of the fact that at some point we start to fall to pieces. And we start to feel this deep longing within us. And very often it's on a physical level. So very often there are pains that start to happen. So women, a lot of the time, suffer from pains in their hips or their lower spine, for example. That's very common in women.
Wow.
Or a lot of intensity around menstrual cycle challenges. So all kinds of the dysfunctions that come around the menstrual cycle, anxiety, depression, but then also, you know, endometriosis, all the deep pains that occur, then infertility is another issue that will come as a result of not being in touch with our own bodies. And then after we've had babies, all kinds of problems that come, incontinence, you know, so all of our physical ailments are connected in one way or another to us not honoring and being all the woman that we truly are. Most of the time we are so stressed and we are holding so much tension in our bodies because we're trying to be somebody that we're not, that creates all these diseases, all these imbalances and all these problems within us. And so a lot of us, you know, or some people will have a nervous breakdown. That's also something that sadly happens for a lot of women. Again, it's because we are pushing and pushing and pushing down a road which is not our own. So that is really a little bit about what this work is about, is to support you to reconnect with who you truly are as a woman. And that starts on an embodiment level. You've got to come into this feminine body. You've got to know your body. And this body is a beautiful place to be. But so often we don't like our bodies and we don't connect with, you know, what you had talked about our first encounter, this sensuality, for example, of our bodies. Our bodies are highly sensual, you know, temples. That's how I like to talk about, you know, the feminine body is this temple. And it has the capacity for so much pleasure, not sexual pleasure. So there's a big distinction. And again, we're totally shut down on it because of the fact that, you know, there's so much kind of difficulty around sexuality that we shut down on our own capacity to feel pleasure because we think it's only about us, our sex life. It's not. It's about being in our body and being alive. That is pleasurable and that is sensual. And that gives us vitality and health. And we feel great about being ourselves when we experience ourselves in that way. So that's a little bit of what I bring to women, and which I, as you hopefully can hear, am deeply passionate about, deeply passionate, because I love so much to support women in the same way that I have been on this journey myself. Obviously, you know, I've been on this whole journey and there's been all kinds of difficulties in my life that has taken me on this journey to come to this place of loving being me, you know, and yeah. So I'm very grateful to be able to share that with you.
Catherine, that sounds like a lot of issues that need to be addressed by many women. And I know so many women who have chronic pain and different kinds of issues, which are notoriously difficult to get help with at the doctor, actually. I wonder if you could be a bit more specific about what it is that you do. If a woman came to see you, what kind of things can you help with, or what is the process?
Yeah, Louise, thank you. Yes, and I am acutely aware that, as you say, it can be very difficult for us to get support with a lot of things that we're grappling with. So I just want to say, you know, please know that you're not alone. You know, there are so many women grappling with so many different issues. And the key is really that, you know, you can heal. You can heal. So how do I do this? So yoga therapy is something that I work with, all the different tools of yoga. Deep relaxation, believe it or not, is such an efficient tool when it comes to acute pain. So the accumulation of stress over years and years and years is obviously creating, you know, deep dysfunctionality within the body. When you start to relax the body, it starts to release that deep stress and tension and it starts to heal. So often, you know, a doctor might give you drugs, you know, to deal with stress and anxiety. But actually, it's about learning to breathe, for example. So none of us are really breathing deeply into the body. So breath work is an amazing practice. Learning to take deep breaths. I know it's surprising that it can be that simple, but really we don't do it. We are running around on adrenaline the whole time and we are not breathing deeply. So when we start to deeply oxygenate our bodies, things shift in a major way. We are not these kind of unsurmountable, complex. We are deeply complex, yes, but we are led to believe that all the solutions are outside of ourselves. In fact, the solutions are within, and they're not as complicated as we think they are. So breath work is something that I work with a lot. Breath work and deep breathing and deep relaxation. And then obviously strengthening and moving the body as it needs to in order to find fluidity, because a lot of the time we don't move. That's another thing that's happened in our sedentary lives. We're sitting on these chairs all the time, you know, and then we're tense and we're not moving. And so the body isn't able to move out the stress. If you're dealing with particular feminine issues, for example, around menstrual cycle, around something like endometriosis, around infertility, these kinds of issues, it's about deepening your relationship with your feminine body, so with your womb. And this is another thing that is, you know, equally relatively new to me. You know, it's maybe been 4 years that I've been really in this deep relationship of love with my own womb. And I cried so much when I realized that it had taken me 40 years of my life to have any kind of intimacy with this phenomenal, you know, life-creating part of my body. I had no awareness whatsoever. So if we don't have any intimacy, any relationship with our own bodies, then of course things start to go wrong. So it's about reconnecting you to your body. It's about spending time with your body through the breath and through relaxation. And then there are other tools that I use as well, like writing meditations can be a wonderful practice as well to release on an emotional level what's taking place within you. Equally, the practice of touch, which is something that can be difficult for women. You know, we have a physical relationship with a man, and yet we don't have an easy relationship of touching our own bodies. A lot of the time, because it releases grief, because we're carrying around a lot of grief. But when we start to gently take care of our own bodies with tenderness and with love, again, we soften, we relax, our bodies start to heal. So there's so much that can be done. And I would share just an example of a woman recently that I've worked with who had gone to gynecologists all over the world in order to try and heal her incontinence. And all kinds of equally yoga teachers as well, all kinds of different exercises, mindset work. And then finally, she was on pills when I met her anyway, to change the programming of the brain to try and stop her incontinence. So I met her at that time where she was not in a good place. And we had 6 sessions together and we found a way through her incontinence, because it wasn't about holding on more. It was about finding the confidence to let go.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. And that healed her.
Gosh.
Because it was about shifting her relationship to her own body. She felt like she was having to hold on with everything that she could have so that she could be alive. Mm. And it wasn't about that. It was about giving her permission to let go and be in her own body and empower her to be in her own body. And as a result of that work, the incontinence went away. So yes, we can heal, you know, pretty serious things as a result of this deepening of getting to know ourselves. Breath work, relaxation, movement, strengthening, empowering. That's what it's all about.
Wow. I mean, at Red Velvet Revelry, what I'm trying to do, and the women who have told me their stories are sharing their stories because they know how powerful it is to hear somebody's story of healing or something shifting in their life when you have something in your life that you're trying to shift. I mean, the whole thing about Red Velvet Revelry is trying to create a conversation where women can talk about the aspects of their lives that relate to their sexuality that are just a bit difficult to talk about. And so some of those things are really painful and some of them are really joyful, but it doesn't matter if they're painful or joyful. A lot of us are not allowed to talk about it. You know, when you tell us about somebody's experience through your work, then we can understand how something that looked as if it couldn't be shifted is shifted. And that gives other women hope, doesn't it? It's amazing. Why do you think, yes, Catherine, it is important that women tell their stories and indeed hear the stories that other women have?
Yeah, Louise, I love the fact that you bring this, you know, because this is another aspect of the work that I do as well and that we've done together is the sharing. And it's so important for us to be able to find the ease. You know, I'm not even going to call it confidence because confidence almost feels like an effort. You know, it's just a deep ease with each other. It's feeling safe to be, you know, all that you are, you know, with all your warts and all. And absolutely, this empowers us. It is so empowering for us to be able to share our stories between generations, between each other. I mean, this is something that has been so important for me recently, having conversations with my mother, you know, conversations about sexuality, about the menstrual cycle, about, you know, self-care, topics of conversation that, you know, growing up I wouldn't have had with her, but I've had so much insight now having these conversations because of that intergenerational connection. But then also the sisterhood circles, which is another thing that, you know, I bring into my work and that we do a lot of together now, and which is so powerful because we're learning, you know, all over again how to be with each other. Because very often within our working environments and often corporate, you know, spheres, we are hedging ourselves against each other. There's competition, you know, there's competition to be better than you. And, you know, we're competing in order to survive in a way. And so, again, that just cuts ourselves off, you know, from ourselves and each other. And therefore, you know, there's tension and there's not this sense of ease. So how do we kind of refind these places, you know, where we can just be ourselves? Because as you say, we learn so much, and we now have kind of, you know, made it that it's all about reading a magazine, or it's about reading a book, or it's about going to a therapy session, you know, in order to get clarity on what's going on for us, you know. But actually, it's all there within our communities and within each other's stories. It's all there. And that's how, you know, traditionally it was always shared, you know, especially amongst women. Women, we like to talk, you know, and talking is part of who we are, you know, and there's a real bitchiness has come into that, sadly. And again, you know, as I've said, I think that's very much about the fact that we're having to compete against each other. But in our essence, we really love, you know, there's a deep, deep heartfelt love, you know, for each other through sisterhood and sharing our stories in that kind of a space where we're not trying to fix each other. We're not trying to fix each other, you know, so it's really moving back from, well, I've got the answer and I'm going to, no, it's just giving each other space to share and listen. And listen, you know, the art of listening is, I think, really important as well. So what you're doing, Mary Louise, with sharing the stories, yes, is so healing for us to share each other's stories and to hear each other's stories. We know that we're not alone. And we know that there's not actually something terribly wrong with us, you know, because we're all on this journey of reconnecting to, you know, who we truly are as women. And we do that together. We can't do it on our own. We really can't. We need each other. We need our sisters and we need to hear each other's stories. So, yeah, so important. Thank you, Mary Louise.
Well, Catherine, I know that your own kind of story of your life is a really is one which a lot of women will identify with. so many bits of what you've experienced, and I've heard you talking about different parts of your life. A Red Velvet Revelry, what we're doing is we're identifying stories about sexuality which are life-giving and life-affirming. And sometimes they're funny anecdotes, and sometimes they're happy memories. Sometimes it's women talking about things in their sexual life which are surprising or new to them. But sometimes their stories can be more than that. They can be about moments in our life where something shifted or there's been a healing. And that is not a funny, happy story, but it may be a powerful, moving story. I wonder if you would share with us something, a kind of moment from your life where there was something in the area of sexuality which shifted for you in a way that was powerful.
Yes. And again, thank you, you know, for just allowing us to have these conversations with ease. And it's not easy, is it? And even
no.
for me,
no, it isn't
you
easy.
Know, that spends all my, you know, time working in this environment with great passion, it's still not easy. So I just want to acknowledge that. And so I had a very active sex life all through my, from a very young dysfunctional age. I became sexually active and I had a very overactive sex life. And then, and I met my husband and, you know, we got married and again, it felt like a very good sex life because there was a lot of sex. And, you know, what I came to realize, I suppose, was that really I was filling an image of what I thought sex should be. And I wasn't necessarily truly feeling the pleasure of sex, but I didn't know any different. And, you know, this was a good sex life according to, you know, all the magazines that I read. So this must be the right thing. Things shifted for me when we decided to have another child. So in my late 30s, we decided that we would have another child. And we got pregnant, but we were not in a right place in our relationship. And I didn't feel at peace. I didn't feel at peace in my body. And because of the fact that I am a yogi, I knew really deep in my soul that this wasn't really right. And this is about listening to intuition. And so I was listening to that intuition. So in a way, it was no huge surprise to me, although it was really painful, that I started to miscarry. I went to the hospital and, you know, yes, the nurse said, yes, you know, I was miscarrying. I was already 9 weeks into that pregnancy. So it wasn't a very early miscarriage. And of course, all the pain of what have I done wrong? What is wrong with me? Why can I not keep this baby? You know, all came up and it was a really difficult time. And I knew that it was something that I needed to be with. And so the nurse said to me, and I, you know, that you can take the pill to make this, you know, easy so that you can have this miscarriage and take your painkillers. And, you know, I deeply honor the fact that that is the journey for a lot of women. And this is a really, really difficult subject. I know, because I've been through it. And for me, that wasn't the calling. The calling, and the nurse knew, which was a really amazing experience for me. She said to me, I don't think that that's what is right for you, is it? And I said, no, thank you. And she said, and I want to offer you painkillers because you are going to go into labor. Will you take them? And I said, no, thank you. something inside me knew that I had to go through this on my own. And so I took myself home to my cottage where I lived in the borders of Scotland on a remote sheep farm. And I took myself out to the river. And I knew that I could bring on this miscarriage through my yoga practice, and that this was something that I needed to honor. So I did. And it brought on the contractions, and I went into this process of miscarrying by the banks of this river. And it was a deeply transforming time for me. It was painful and harrowing and awakening all at the same time, because I was with and in my body in a deeper way than I had ever been in my life. I could feel myself at such a deep level. So things shifted after that. I started to have this deep awareness of my womb, which even though I had had a child and I was a mother, I didn't have before then. I became deeply aware of my menstrual cycles and of my relationship with my feminine body. I really awoke to the fact that I was a woman. And what did that mean to be a woman? And then I went to London. I was called to go and do a training with an amazing woman. And that's when I trained in yoga therapy for women's health. And that training was also deeply transformative. And I went through another great healing at that time, because I mourned the way that I had abused my body, giving myself into, you know, sexual encounters again and again and again in my pursuit for love, where I didn't really want to be there, but I thought that that was the only way that I was going to be loved. And so I gave myself again and again. And so I grieved that. And again, that shifted me, that brought me into this tenderness with my own body. So what I realized that up until then, I had always been, you know, very hard on myself. I expected, you know, a really high level of achievement, whether I was practicing yoga or whether I was making a documentary film. And there was a harshness, a real harshness in the relationship with my body. And that shifted into a tenderness. And that brought this whole new sexual relationship with my husband, which I now enjoy in a way that I never thought I would. And I remember the day, not long ago, I then did become pregnant with my second child and had a lovely other baby boy. And not long, it was during that pregnancy, actually, that I remember being with my husband and thinking, oh my God, this is just amazing. And I want to be here. I really want to be here. And I deserve to feel all this pleasure. And so, yeah, from then on, I have experienced pleasure in a way that I never did before, because there was so much tension and I was always trying so hard. And now I am so relaxed and I am so in my sensuality. I'm so in love with being in my own body that my orgasms are, you know, on a level that, again, I never thought, you know. And I'm going to be 45 this year, and I am at the height of my sexual pleasure now. I mean, it's beautiful and it's delicious and I love it. And equally, it's not every day, because I'm still a menstruating woman. And so I don't want to have sex every day of my cycle. And I just want to bring that in there, because I think it's really important. And that was a whole awareness that was so important to me, which is that, you know, there are about 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks of the cycle where we feel amazing in our bodies and we want to share our bodies. But after, you know, ovulation, about 7 to 8 days after ovulation, where we shift down into the autumn time of our cycle, we go inwards and we don't feel sexual anymore. But then if we allow ourselves to recharge, then when we come into springtime again, it's like, hell yeah, I'm ready, you know, take me now, you know, and let's go and frolic in the fields. And I do a lot of frolicking in the fields. So
well, Catherine, that is very inspiring, and it's you know, it's thank you for sharing that, because I'm sure there'll be a lot of women who can identify with so many bits of that. And it's back to, where would we hear other women's experience like that to know that something else is possible? Thank you so much. Thank you for your story, and thank you for what you're doing in the world. And if anybody wants to know more about your work, we'll put the details in the podcast notes so that people can find you. I just want to say a huge warm thank you so much for being with me today and for sharing so generously. And I wish you well, and I hope that your sexual life just gets better and better.
Oh, Mary Louise, thank you so much. Thank you for allowing me to come and to share, and thank you again for bringing this work to other women. And I hope that, you know, my experiences can support other women, because ultimately that is what it's about, sharing our stories to support each other. So deeply, deeply grateful. And yes, I will carry on enjoying in every way this gift that is given to us, you know, because it is a gift and it is to be enjoyed with all its, you know, different challenges and permutations. But yeah, it's a huge pleasure, Mary Louise. Thank you so much. And yes, you know where I am if you need me.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today. It was really interesting to hear more about Catherine's story. It's fascinating how women can take their own experience, which they found difficult, and use it to do something which helps other women. I think Catherine's one of those women. And on another note, if you happen to live in or around the Edinburgh area, you might be interested in coming along to the Red Velvet Supper Club. It's a women's night out with fizz, amazing food, and lots of stories and songs celebrating the female sexual experience. It's always a great laugh and thought-provoking too. If you'd like to find out more about that or any other events that I'm up to, you can find out more on our website at www.redvelvetrevelry.com. In the next podcast, I'll be speaking to Stephanie Starla. Stephanie is a passion priestess, a coach, a writer of erotic fiction, and so much more. Join me next time on the Red Velvet Revelry podcast. Cheerio! Red Velvet.